from across the Volunteer State, the countdown to kickoff with your exclusive scouting report. Welcome to the Coach's Meeting. Coach to Coach.
This is one of those football seasons where the focus is what's wrong with. What's wrong with this player, or our coaching, or this unit? Maybe with the exception of Oregon, everyone else is starting this week asking what's wrong with. Even Texas fans want to know what's wrong with Quinn Ewers. So as we get ready for the third Saturday in October, Tennessee fans want to know what's wrong with the offense. And Alabama fans want to know what's up with the Crimson Tide defense.
Inconsistent protection, separation by wide receivers, and then inconsistent quarterback play. That covers the whole gamut. It's an issue, though, that thank goodness, again, in the passing game, and it's all three things. It's not one thing. It's quarterback, it's separation by receivers, and then it is inconsistent protection.
Yeah, and Coach, talking about Alabama's defensive issues, first of all, it's a lack of communication. And when you talk about lack of communication, you're talking about pre-snap, you're talking about the eye discipline pre-snap, and then what causes that? Well, some of it, they're calling for Kane Womack, the defensive coordinator, get the calls in a little quicker. It looks sometimes like the calls are in there late. Guys are kind of don't know where to line up. Linebackers are not in sync. And the secondary right now at Alabama is very average.
So Alabama and Tennessee will try to get right Saturday as the two face off. We did see some defensive improvements from Tennessee, Florida, for what was already a unit that was playing well.
And it's all back in the secondary. That was a question mark coming in, primarily the cornerback position. I think almost everybody knew, anybody that follows Tennessee and certainly other coaches know, that that front was going to be good with the linebackers, those front six. But the cornerbacks in particular, I tell you, McCoy and Gibson, two sophomores, one a transfer, and McCoy, the other a recruited youngster named and Gibson, they're playing at a very high level right now. And they give Coach Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, the ability now to play press man on those two outside receivers, and that gives you the ability to move those other nine players around. Tennessee has not had that since Coach Banks has been there. They do have it this year, and they also have a quality backup who can go in and play well, too, in McMurray. So I thought the corner play in particular, that has been the big key to making this a pretty exceptional defense, Mac.
Yeah, Coach, and I thought the linebacker play was really good, too. Now, a big loss for the linebackers is the loss of Peely. And Peely's loss is big on two fronts. It's experience and leadership, because plus he's the green dot guy. He was the guy with the green dot. He tied the front and the back end together. They have young linebackers, though, that they've played, that they're athletic enough to fill in, but you cannot manufacture that experience that you lost with Peely. I'm sure he's still going to be around the team, Coach, helping them out, but that's a loss.
Much more on the Vols, much more on Alabama as we move through this hour of Coach to Coach. These major matchups seem to be almost a weekly event in college football this year. So does the what's wrong with questioning, I guess. As Texas and Georgia prepare for kickoff Saturday, what's your diagnosis, Dave McGinnis, on Georgia's issues?
Well, first of all, Georgia has a high standard to begin with, so their issues, you know, still bring them, you know, as one of the top teams in the country. But right now, it doesn't look like they're asserting themselves as a power football mentality. They are ranked 92nd in the nation and 13th among the 16 SEC teams with only 134 yards per game on the ground. That was running back you. They're not that right now. That's what I see, Coach.
Well, and on defense, now this is conference games only. They're right now 10th in pass defense out of 16 teams, and they're 6th in run defense. They lost a lot of players not only this year but in the past. Now they've recruited exceptionally well. But when you do that, you know, sometimes you miss a little bit. They are not as good defensively, especially in the passing game, back in that secondary, because they've had so many players that are playing on Sunday now.
Well, yeah, and the biggest challenge that Texas's offense, Coach, I think, poses to Georgia is the issues on – you mentioned it, the defense has been lack of quality depth, especially in the secondary. They lost 8 secondary players last year, 4 to the portal, 4 to the NFL. They're number 39 in pass defense in the country. Texas is number 7 in total offense in the country, 11th ranked passing offense. There's your matchup.
Right now, boy, you look at Texas defensively. They are number 1 in total defense, conference-wise. They're number 1 in scoring defense, only giving up 8 points a game. They're number 5 in rush defense, and they're number 1 in pass defense. And there's a lot of number 1s in there. But Texas right now is leading the way.
It's Texas and Georgia, another top five battle. It's going to have to be a lot, though, to compare with what we saw between Oregon and Ohio State last Saturday night. What did you learn in that game?
Again, what did it get down to? It got down to Oregon having a quarterback who can make some plays. That is the theme of has been seemingly the theme of this show for the last few years. They had a quarterback make some plays. But I'll say this. It's a lot, Mac, like the Georgia-Texas game. If those two teams play again, it could be just the other way on that. But the matchups and the competitiveness of so many of the teams that are going to be playing going forward is going to make for some great ball games, and there's going to be a huge amount of eyeballs on those ball games.
Well, the thing that I learned, Coach, first of all, is they're two good teams. Those are two really good teams playing. But in this particular ball game, Oregon's offensive line beat Ohio State's defensive front. You mentioned the quarterback, Gabriel. He lit up Ohio State, 341 yards, two touchdowns, 27-yard rushing touchdown, no turnovers. And in this ball game, as the game progressed, Ohio State was the less physical team on the field, which doesn't happen very often.
This is Coast to Coach with former University of Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews and former NFL defensive coordinator and head coach Dave McGinnis, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
All has risen. Soon I will satisfy my thirst for a win. And there is only one way to do it. By playing the new October instant games from the Tennessee Lottery. Fly by your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer for some instant fun. I'll meet you there. You can count on it.
With October Instant Games, you could sink your teeth into top prizes of up to $500,000, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Focused on the lessons from Tennessee's win over Florida last Saturday night at Neyland Stadium, this is Coach to Coach. Tennessee's offense continues to fight self-inflicted wounds. How many times in the Florida game did you see Tennessee start a drive promising, only to have a penalty or something like that stymie the momentum?
Well, first of all, they only had six penalties, which was a big reduction, you know, from the week before. So that was good. Six penalties for 47 yards. But the timing of the penalties, Coach, Coach Matthews, two offensive tackle holding penalties were big. That was big, especially we'll talk about this later on, but the outside the cylinder, that was big. One pre-snap penalty stopped your offensive momentum, and in that ball game, you needed all the offensive momentum you could have. So even though you didn't have a large number of penalties, when they happen is critical.
Pretty plain what this offense needs if they're going to get back to being the offense that they can be. And notice I said can be because they still can be, but they got to find that deep passing game. Listen, if you can't challenge a defense deep, Mac and I were defensive coordinators. If I'm over there calling defense or Mac's over there calling defense and you can't challenge me deep, that lets me squeeze every other route. And that's what we're seeing right now. They got to get that deep passing game going because Now those safeties are sitting in there jumping those crossing routes. That's where the interceptions have come from. When if you have a deep passing game, they're going to be another 5 or 10 yards deep, and it kind of opens up that middle to throw in. I would suspect that Coach Heupel in this ball game will be attacking deep because, again, they got to hit some splash plays.
Yeah, Nico missed 4 vertical throws, but Brazel, Nimrod, and Squirrel White, they were stretching the defense, and the throws were called and the throws were made, but you got to hit them. You got to hit those throws. They called and executed the vertical passing game versus Florida. As far they ran by and they ran through the coverage, but he missed those explosive shots. And you have to hit at least 2 of those. You're not going to hit all of them, but at least 2 out of 4, you needed that.
David, in at least 3 of the cases, the ball thrown out of bounds, which kind of surprised me. We haven't seen that much from Nico. What's the teaching point there?
Throw the wide receiver open to the red line, which is 5 yards from the sideline. Use the red line as your guidepost, and I know they do this. Throw him open to there. Give him a chance to work. The accuracy and at practice, those are the answers there. But that red line, it's an imaginary line, 5 yards from the sideline, and both the defense tries to win the red line by pushing the receiver further out so the throws are out of bounds, or the receiver by trying to make moves so that he can at least have that 5-yard area to work in. You got to practice it.
Excuse me, man. That's when you know when a quarterback is not, quote, on his passing game, because as Mac mentioned, they work on this in practice. Every team does. Listen, if you got to be able to throw that fade route because you're going to have that man coverage, and they force you outside. They want you to throw that route. Why? Because old Sammy sideline's out there. You know, you can make a great catch, and if you're stepping on old Sammy over there, it's not any good on that. So, again, though, that was kind of the key to me to knowing when Nico was not quite as sharp, which happens on that. But, again, that's something you work on a lot, and they do have the receivers out there. They got height out there. They got 2.65. Brazel and Thornton Jr. are both 6'4", 6'5 guys. They will not go up against a defensive back in this league. Most of the defensive backs in this league are 6'6", 6'6", 6 foot, 6'1", 5'11", something like that. So, again, that's a learning lesson that I'm sure that will come out of this ball game. I would expect against Alabama for Tennessee to attack those corners pretty strongly.
Well, this is still a developing quarterback, too. Let's all remember that. Nico sometimes needs to work the middle of his cylinder sometimes rather than drifting outside. Those holding calls, when you start to drift outside and those offensive tackles start to reach for that edge rusher, and all of a sudden then the quarterback's launch point is a little further out. So, you know, start to navigate the interior of that cylinder just a little bit more, because the center guard triangle is forming a nice pocket up inside there when you're looking at it. So you need to work on that too.
Well, I really believe Nico will grow from this ball game. Again, young quarterback, he has played in some tough games on the road. Arkansas, tough place to play. Oklahoma, tough place to play. And he had played a couple of home games, but he had never played in a home game where you have a competitor coming in, a traditional competitor, a rival like a Alabama or like a Florida. And again, You probably don't think about it like this, but that crowd, he had to be probably nervous. That crowd was pumped up. It was a big, big ball game. And he wasn't sharp. He wasn't sharp in any phase of his game when he was running the ball. But he improved from the last couple of weeks. And, again, I think this is a learning situation for him. I think he learned some things on this.
Well, Coach Matthews and I both have mentioned Nimrod, Brazel, White, Thornton. They can get open. And so they've got the ability to stretch a defense and make runs after the catch. You just got to get the ball to them.
Got to get the ball to Brazel more. Excellent hands, speed, size, height, physicality. He is a tough cat. He made a great across-the-middle catch, a combat catch, where he got hit by 2 guys and made a great catch on that. He has the speed to get deep, and he has that combat ability that Mac used to call him when you throw that 50-50 ball up. A 50-50 ball down the field to him is going to be more like 60-40, 70-30 because of his height, size, and his toughness. He is a tough wide receiver.
Yeah, we touched on the offensive tackles, and we know that they're still working through those tackles, wanting more consistency out of both of them, and they were both called for holding, but the quarterback escaping the pocket outside, the offensive tackles, as I mentioned earlier, they start reaching, and so a lot of this can be the quarterback manipulating the inside, the middle of the pocket, the inside of the cylinder, as we call it, and also, you know, you got to sometimes have near perfect footwork out there on the outside. But those two holding penalties kind of stood out.
What happens is when that quarterback gets outside the pocket, and let's just look at it from an offensive tackle position, he's expecting that quarterback to be in the pocket right behind him on the call. So he's protecting in there. He does not know when that quarterback gets outside, is forced outside, or rushes outside. All three of the holding penalties, and you mentioned there were only six penalties. Three of them were holding calls, and they all were when the quarterback was escaping the pocket. The offensive tackle didn't let go of the defensive rusher. But again, he was expecting the ball to be inside. I don't know how you coach that. But I'm sure that the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator will work on that. But again, some of that goes to the quarterback getting out of that pocket too quickly. And again, that is youth. You'll get better at that. But they're going to have to clean that up because, listen, the 10-yard in against the defenses in this league, a 10-yard holding penalty, when you go from first and 10 or second and 7, whatever, 10 yards deeper, you're probably going to be punting when it's all said and done.
Vols run game, very efficient right now. And we wondered at the start of this year, would they get the tight ends more involved? Doug, seeing a lot of involvement at that spot.
Certainly in the running game, that's where Kitzelman and Stays, both transfers coming in this year, that's what they're really good at. They're also good, solid, wide catchers of the ball. But they're smart. They're solid blockers, both run and pass. They are solid receivers, very, very dependable. And when Coach Heupel starts having trouble with protection, you're going to see both those guys come in there and be help that offensive tackle that we've been talking about, give them a little help. So they're two quality players.
Yeah, Coach, let's dig a little deeper on those tight ends, and I agree with what you're saying. Miles Kinselman, number 87, he's a senior, 6'5", 256. He's a good edge blocker. They also use him a lot on what I call crunch plays, coming across the formation, behind the line of scrimmage, being able to kick out. They do a lot of different things in the run game, but he's got six receptions, 78 yards, two touchdowns for a 13-yard average, and that's really good. And Holden State's number 19 is a junior, 6'4", 248, eight catches, 60 yards, one touchdown, averaging 7.5. But the athlete's that Ethan Davis kid, number 0, that freshman, 6'5", 246. He's got seven catches for 52 yards, one touchdown. This guy is an athlete.
Mac, he's the guy, too. Davis is the guy that they are going to get more involved in the passing game, younger guy. But, those two tight ends, we talk about that transfer portal. One came from Alabama.
Yep.
One came from Notre Dame. Two quality, tough programs, and both of them are playing pretty well right now. You know, I thought, Coach Heupel, this is the second week in a row, maybe even the third week in a row that I felt this. He really showed his ability to be patient. You know, Mac, if you're the head football coach, you look at a game one way. If you're the offensive coordinator, play caller, you look at it another way. But when you're both, that's when the head coach has to kind of take over from the offensive coordinator. Would Coach Heupel love to be running that pedal to the metal, scoring 40, 50 points as an offensive coordinator? Certainly. But as a head football coach, and this is where I think not only has he matured because he's been a head football coach now for a while, but that patience to be able to say, hey, we got to protect our quarterback, kick that football, and let our defenses, which is playing really, really well right now, let them help win this ball game. That's the area that I think he has grown in. You know darn good and well he wants to be over there as an offensive play caller doing the things that he does so well. But the head coach in this particular ball game, I would make an argument the last three ball games, has kind of taken over and overruled the offensive coordinator.
All right, so the offense shut out two straight weeks in the first half. Is that something the coaching staff tries to affect going into the Alabama game?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to. I mean, starting faster on the scoreboard, that's always the goal for the offense. And they'll study the early call sheet versus opponents and defensive weaknesses every week to try and capitalize early. But that absolutely is. It's got to be on their minds really, really quick.
Pretty simple, really, if you just go back and look at the way the games have started. Let's just go back to the last game. That's a great example on it. First six drives, first drive, they're moving the ball, they have a turnover. Next drive, they're moving the ball. They have two holding penalties, two in a row on the offensive tackle. Next drive, they get the football. They jump a couple more penalties on that. So the first six drives, they got nothing out of the first six drives. and it was all self-inflicted. Those are the things that you can fix. And I think they will do that. Now, I will say this. The big improvement, and this was from a lesson from the last couple of weeks, is Tennessee, for the first time in 3 weeks, outscored their opponent in the fourth quarter and the overtime period and the second half. So that was the plus part of it. But, boy, you can't go in at halftime with a goose egg up or on the left side of the ledger.
One more point on that, Dave. From an offensive coaching perspective, now that Josh Heupel has seen what Nico can do, maybe what he's comfortable with, having that game experience even more valuable than the practice experience to say, okay, maybe these are the things I need to call against Alabama to get him started on a strong note.
Yeah, well, game experience is everything. And especially we're talking about game experience. Coach has said this, and he and I both agree, it's a Southeastern Conference game experience. Now, with the environments that you're facing, the defenses you're facing, absolutely, growth from the quarterback in that also gives the play caller more confidence in what the quarterback can do.
Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Coach to Coach continues inside the coach's meeting room for real analysis.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands five-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
SEC Saturday begins with Auburn and Missouri. Head coach Eli Drinkwitz says he's concerned about what he calls an elite Auburn front, putting pressure on his offensive line. South Carolina visits Oklahoma. Sooners lead the SEC in takeaways per game, averaging almost 2.5 per game. Gamecocks have been prone to turnovers. That's a concern for the Gamecocks. First ever meeting, by the way, between these two schools. Our coach-to-coach lessons continue as we break down Tennessee's defensive performance from the Florida win. Doug Matthews, it begins with some lessons that we explored a week ago that got cleared up.
Well, I thought this past ball game, was, from a lesson standpoint, was the best improvement from the previous game, what lessons are intended to do. Space tackling needed to be improved. It was much improved in this ball game. This secondary against some really good, talented, skilled players from Florida did an excellent job in space tackling. Need to be improved, it was. Two takeaways, getting a couple of takeaways was big, getting your hands on footballs, but many big plays. But the biggest thing was space tackling and then setting the edge on contain. We talked last week, one of the lessons was from the star position, you can't let anybody get outside of you. That position played exceptionally well.
Solid and secure space tackling from the second and third level this game, much improved.
It was another week when they needed to contain the quarterback's running ability. They had two, of course, an older player in Merson and a younger player who's had a lot of talent, and they did that. This, again, you look at superlatives and lessons and getting better. The run contain from whoever the outside leverage guy is. Could be a defensive end, could be a linebacker on some calls, could be the secondary. Again, that was a huge plus in this ball game.
Well, going into this ball game, when you looked at it, the Gators, they used a lot of pre-snap shifts and motions with 12 personnel, which is two tights, two wides, and one back. And they used the shifts and motions, and they also would bring a receiver in tight in what I call nine ball stacks, which is a real tight triangle type of a look. And I thought the Vols defense adjusted with a three linebacker defense. Now, when you're playing man-to-man, those nine-ball stacks, you've got to be on point being able to sort those out as far as to who's got who in the zoo. I mean, you've got to be able to do that. And I thought the three-linebacker defense to counter that 12 personnel was really good. And the linebackers did a nice job fitting on the run, nice job of sorting out those stacks, as I said. And so that was a little bit of a chess game back and forth.
Well, just a little bit about that. Florida had not showed that at all. And they shifted. They not only shifted a couple of offensive players to the other side, a couple times they did three or four. And the one touchdown, that first touchdown that Tennessee gave up, there's a little confusion in their man coverage back there because of that. But again, they made an adjustment on that. You know, Mac, one of the things that I know Coach Banks has to be, and this defense has to be extremely happy about, zero rush touchdowns. You know, if you don't give up rushing touchdowns, that means if you're going to give one up, it has to come through the air. And as we know, the closer you get to that goal line, the tougher it is to complete passes because you don't have depth to worry about as a secondary. And not only has there been zero touchdowns, there's been two fumble recoveries inside the 5-yard line on running plays. Those are huge, huge plays when you're looking at winning and losing.
Something that really stood out to me, Coach, was Ricky Gibson's excellent knockback tackle on that fourth down, that fly sweep. That, first of all, that call was a fourth down call. That was big, big call, and that was a big play. And that defensive play, that kind of epitomized what this Tennessee defense is.
You know, Mac, one thing on that call, that was fourth down and 6 inches.
Oh, I know.
And instead, it shows you the respect, or maybe you wasn't thinking real clearly, but that shows you the respect that this front has, this Tennessee front, gets from certainly the Florida coach quickly. Man coverage, motion in, and then the handoff to a speedy receiver. That cornerback had to follow him all the way across the field, had to work his way through some of his own players, you know, screening him off, and then got there, Mac. And if he tackles him and he falls forward, it's a 1st and 10. That was as good a play. And this guy, this Gibson youngster, he's just sophomore. That was as good a play, a heady awareness play to get him on the ground. I thought that was one of the best plays in the ballgame.
Yeah, well, it was not only a tackle, but as you said, that's a physical tackle for loss on a critical fourth down play. And the reason they probably went to the edges, they couldn't make anything. Maybe it was inches, but they weren't making an inch on that interior defensive line.
All right, let's go to the late fourth quarter. What happened on the 3rd and 18 play late to tie it?
They're playing cover two. Safety's back there in two deep. The safety on one side came up as the quarterback started to manipulate up. Thought the quarterback was probably going to take off running, and the receiver split right down the railroad tracks, right down the middle versus cover two. Now, they weren't playing Tampa two. Tampa two is something everybody plays, but in Tampa two, the middle linebacker runs the middle of the field and your safeties get wider. They were playing pure cover two, so they had nobody down the middle. When the safeties, if you're playing pure cover two, those safeties have got to stay in their halves and break on the ball from outside in, because the middle of the field is where you're vulnerable on cover two. That's what happened.
Well, both of us are secondary coaches. That was almost an impossible cover for to cover half the field. They gave him time to remember that the quarterback stepped up and threw the ball, stepping up in the pocket. But when you're covering half the field, you got a fast wide receiver out there. He ran a corner post. Well, you just can't cover a guy that well. It was wide open. I was a little surprised on that. It's one of the things that you have to do as a coordinator. How was Tennessee getting being effective in the passing game up until that play in that series? They were pressuring the quarterback. Coach Banks decided to play defense, play zone, drop back and just rush four, gave the quarterback time. Now, this was a young quarterback. He had to give him a lot of credit, big pass on that. But it's one of those calls. Do you keep pressuring or do you back off? That's how you win or lose sometimes.
Yeah, one other point on that, Coach, and this is why Monty Kiffin, God rest his soul, invented Tampa 2 when he was down there working for John Gruden. Tampa 2, where the middle linebacker in that situation would have backed up to about 10 yards. He would have carried the middle to give you a little bit different look.
It's second time, though, in two ball games where Tennessee has had two of the three ball games going back to Arkansas, where Tennessee's had a offense in great position, third down and 15 or more. Gave up a touchdown in this ball game. Gave up a big pass against in the Arkansas game that eventually cost Tennessee a win there.
A lot of things with the scheme. A lot of things with individual plays made in the overtime period for the Vols defense.
Well, and especially it just goes to show you how important experience is. Eason's experience in that overtime period of recognizing a screen and getting out there. He's a rush guy. All right, he's there to rush and put pressure on the quarterback, but he recognized the blocking scheme. That tackle wasn't trying to block him. Again, from experience, knew where it was going. They threw that. They threw the screen pass out there. He tackled it for a 4 or 5 yard loss. That was huge. But again, that's where experience pays off. And Bryson Eason, that was one of the biggest plays in the game, because now that puts you're in overtime. You get the ball in the 25. There was a 5 yard penalty that put them back on the 35. Now they're kicking a 50 yard field goal instead of a 40 yard field goal, and as we know, that ended up helped win the ball game for
Coach. You've heard me say many times on this program, and just when you and I are talking ball, you can't manufacture the experience. The coaching point to that is not only did he recognize it, but he retraced his steps. He retraced his steps, and he also took the proper angle. He retraced his steps. Beautiful play.
This is one of those games where defensive plays made by Tennessee in some very key situations led to winning the game. The strip on the goal line. That overtime play, Doug, you're talking about.
Well, and that's where I think this defense has really come alive and come of age. The one question mark coming into this season defensively was the secondary. Coach Banks knew, anybody that follows this team knew, up front, they're four up front people. Well, they play 10 or 12 of them, and their linebackers were quality players. But the secondary was the question, and especially at the cornerback position, this secondary has really played exceptionally well. Now, if they don't get pressure, they're like a lot of secondaries. If you don't get pressure and you're playing zone coverage and you give a quarterback time to throw, most of the guys in this league are gonna complete them. But that's been the big plus. The secondary, the top six players from last year, 2023, the top six defensive backs are no longer on this football team. A couple of them are playing for other SEC schools. So they have replaced every starting position with either a transfer player or a soaker that's moved up, and they're really playing at a high level right now.
Defense takes their cues as far as their mental and physical toughness. It's on every defense like this, from the big dudes up front. If your big dudes up front are dudes, and they roll a lot of them in there, then everybody else feeds off of that. And that's what's been impressive to me to watch on a consistent basis, regardless of who they're playing.
Now, sometimes you almost want to do lessons for the opponent, too. But I really thought Florida in this ballgame, they had some bad situational football. I mean, they in a lot of ways outplayed Tennessee overall for 60 minutes. But situational, we talked about that 4th and 6 inches. Listen, if you don't have enough confidence in your offense to pick up 6 inches, that is situational football. They put themselves at this. I thought this coaching staff, while they did a great job of getting this team ready to play, I thought situational football in this game, they run out of timeouts and have 3 points taken off the scoreboard. All that is coaching, and I didn't think that was very good on Florida's part. Now, they did have their team ready to play, no doubt about that. But situation of the ball game, it wasn't a stellar game from an offensive or defensive play calling standpoint or head coach standpoint.
Well, to me, losing the 3 points with that timeout issue was, to me, I mean, that's coaching. That's coaching, that's situational awareness, and your team, you've got to make those kind of decisions that can make a difference.
All right, let's talk special teams. Florida came up with some big return yards. Dave, why?
The Vols did clean up their punt coverage. They lost contained twice, two big returns. But also, the punts need more height. One of them was a line drive. You line drive that thing, and you don't give your gunners or your people going downfield time to get down there. That was an issue. So those two things have to go hand in hand. But they lost contain on both of them. But the one punt, the line drive, so get the height, get the coverage height down there, and then get the contain.
57 return yards on 2 fourth-quarter returns when the game was in doubt. For an elite kicking unit, and this is an elite kicking unit, and it was all because it contained one person. That outside guy on the right didn't get didn't keep his contain. He got outside, and a good returner made some plays on that. But it was a leverage thing. That was surely a lesson. I guarantee that Mike Eckler will be going over. But I tell you what, that gave Florida an opportunity to win the game, and it certainly gave them the opportunity to get into overtime, which they did.
Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, this is Coach to Coach. Our coaches are ready with lessons, X's and O's, and insight.
1, 2, it's coming for you. 3, 4, you could win much more. 5, 6, on a scratch ticket. 7, 8, it's not too late. The new haunted Jumbo Bucks instant game. With a top prize of $75,000, it's a terrifyingly great way to celebrate Halloween. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly. 9, 10, time to play again.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, to be successful, you need 5-star talent. It's also true for your heavy lifting equipment. Forklift Systems will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and what you need to trade or cut. If you're not constantly improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
SEC action Saturday. Texas A&M is at Mississippi State. The Bulldogs have to slow down Le'Veon Moss. He's averaging just under 7 yards per carry, 609 yards on the season for A&M. LSU travels to Arkansas. Is this an LSU letdown after the Ole Miss win? 6 o'clock kickoff in Fayetteville. Jalen Milroe and Alabama are next on the schedule for the Volunteers. Milroe did not have an efficient game against South Carolina. But Dave McGinnis, all you have to do is put on that first half Georgia tape to see what he can do when he's on.
Yeah, don't fake yourself out and think that this dude can't hurt you. This dude is very, very dangerous, both in the cylinder and especially on the RPO looks and when he escapes the pocket on the off-schedule plays. And I think I said it on an earlier show that we did, Doug, the first time that I watched him hit a corner and run, he's a lot faster than I thought that he was. This guy's dangerous. Very dangerous. You better be on point. You talk about setting an edge and everybody setting an edge and getting people inside out to the football when he's carrying it. Plus, I mean, he can hit all areas of the field throwing it. Don't go to sleep on this dude.
Yeah, very similar game plan to Oklahoma and Arkansas. You don't let the quarterback beat you with his legs. We all watch a lot of college football. There is no quarterback in the country at any level. I'd even go to high school, junior college, NFL, that when he gets the ball in his hands, listen, Milroe is a running back that happens to be a darn good quarterback. He can run the football. He's physical. He's got speed. He has awareness on that. So, again, you cannot let him beat you with his legs. Now, he's capable of beating you throwing the ball, but he has 11 rushing touchdowns. Think about that. 11 rushing touchdowns, by far the most on the Alabama team. So, again, just like Oklahoma, just like Arkansas, guys, we've been down this path before. We cannot let this guy beat us. If he beats us throwing the ball, we'll pat on the back and say, job well done. But we can't let him beat us with his legs.
You got choices. You either cage rush him, which means you squeeze, contain, rush him. You don't hit the outside shoulder on your rushes because that opens up lanes with a four-man rush. You got to cage rush him, squeeze him, or you spy him from the second level, let the rush flush him and have somebody that can run, take him down. You either plus one him, bring somebody from the top down on the RPOs, then – you've got to try to disguise your pre-snap looks, man or zone, in throwing situations. You've got a lot of avenues open to you as a defensive coordinator. You just got to decide what fits you best.
Well, and here's the problem with that. You got guys like Jane Pierce out there. What's his forte? Rushing the passer. You got Joseph on the other side rushing the passer. They don't. You know, it's not in their DNA to contain a quarterback. They want to go knock the heck out of him. And you got to keep him in that cylinder. And that's not easy to do at all. Now, Alabama's run game, this is not a strong, take Milroe out of, he's their leading rusher, by the way, including even with sacks thrown in on that. But Miller and Haynes, good running backs. These aren't great running backs that we've seen Alabama have. If you want to stop their running game, you better stop Milroe because he is over 50% of their running game.
Yeah, and to me, the offensive line is still a good offensive line. It really is. But that center guard triangle is a strength. The Parker Brailsford, the center, left guard Tyler Booker, and the right guard Jaden Roberts, those are dudes. I mean, those are in there. Now, Their tackles, I mean, they had a tackle that transferred to Iowa from there and then transferred back to Alabama in Caden Proctor. And then their right tackle has switched between Elijah Pritchett and Wilcomb Formby. But to me, they've still got a really good interior offensive line, but you better contain that.
Top wide receiver as splash player, Ryan Williams, speed. He's got 6 touchdowns. This true freshman in the Southeastern Conference, 25 yard per catch. But here's the thing about him: if you really watch him, he doesn't have that many receptions. 15, 16 receptions. But where you cannot let him do is beat you deep. And Mac, every game, I haven't watched every game of theirs. If it's a combat catch, he seems to make every single one of them. That was against a really good Georgia team. We've seen him do it. But you cannot let, just like you can't let Milroe beat you with your legs, you got to keep this guy in front of you. You cannot not let him get behind you. I don't know what his speed is, but he has that ability. And you know cornerbacks look at him and study him. He's run by almost every defensive corner that he's played. So that's Tennessee's defensive strength in that secondary, those two corners. They're going to have their hands full with this cat.
He's got 23 catches this year, 576 yards, but his average is 25 yards a catch. So he is an explosive play. He's got 6 touchdowns. When you dig into him and watch him, he's smooth, but he's an instant accelerator. And for a freshman at 17 years old, he's already nuanced as a receiver, being able to know how to lean in and how to play. He's a big play waiting to happen, but his spatial awareness when the ball is in the air is really good.
All right, so let's flip to the Alabama defense. Coming into this season, Dave, lack of experience, especially in the secondary, was the biggest issue for Alabama.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's back there. They lost, 8 players for the NFL, 4 transfer portal. They've been really good back there in the secondary historically. This is not quite that type of a level of a secondary at Alabama.
It's a new system. It's the same lineup. They're lining up the same, but it's a new system. They got new coaches. And I think most importantly is they lost their cornerback coach from last year's staff, and that was a guy named Nick Saban. So whoever is coaching those corners now, he's probably a really good coach. He doesn't have the respect and the demand that Nick Saban had with that group. They've not played exceptionally well on defense. They've given up a lot of points, and a lot of it has to do with that inexperience, as Mac was talking about in this secondary.
What about up front? What does the film show on Alabama's front seven?
Well, they're good, and maybe they're a little bit better than good, but they're not to the level of previous years. Now, it's difficult to keep recruiting guys who are number one first-round draft choices. They've had a bundle of those up there. But it's they're good. They're solid. The strength of this team is not their defense. Between at the last half of the Georgia game, the next six quarters, this defense and four quarters to Vanderbilt gave up at that point 59 points. They gave up 40 points to a Vanderbilt team, which is much improved. But Vanderbilt's offense in a 40 point score a game, so that's still a question mark right now.
Yeah, it's a capable front, but they're not elite.
If you look at the sack stats, it tells you about their pass rush. They have 12 sacks, all right, in five ball games. Four of those have been by one guy, a linebacker, a senior linebacker. The secondary has four, and another linebacker has two. So four secondary, six linebacker, that's 10 of the 12 sacks have come from not the defensive line. What does that tell you? That tells you that they're having to blitz people to get pass rush. When you know that as a play caller, what they got to be doing if they're rushing that many people, they're playing man behind it. You pick out your best receiver and you get him the ball. That will, believe me, will be a key part of this ball game. If Alabama is unable, as they have been really all year long, to get there with their front three or front four, and have to start bringing linebackers, they're going to open themselves up, or defensive secondary, they're going to have to open themselves up. They're going to open themselves up for some big plays down the field.
Well, let's talk about their linebacker play, Coach. Jihad Campbell has got 51 tackles, 1.5 sacks, one pass defense, one interception. He's number 11, and he's a junior, 6'3", 244. Deontay Lawson, 50 tackles, one sack. There's the blitz. Three passes defensed. He's number 0. He's a junior, 6'2", 239. But the guy that's got the four sacks is Q Robinson. He's a senior. 19 tackles, but four sacks. 6'5", 241, one forced fumble. And so that's your top linebacker.
Play calls. Official calls. Wrong calls. We break it all down. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. This is Coach to Coach.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
One, two, it's coming for you. Three, four, you could win much more. Five, six, on a scratch ticket. Seven, eight, it's not too late. The new haunted Jumbo Bucks instant game. With a top prize of $75,000, it's a terrifyingly great way to celebrate Halloween. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly. 9:10, time to play again.
Coach to coach, it's Tennessee-Alabama week. Elsewhere, Ball State and Vanderbilt face off Saturday. I tell you what, impressive win for the Commodores last weekend. A very physical Kentucky team. After that Alabama win, it would have been totally understandable for the Doors to lose, but they didn't. And, Dave, they went into a fourth quarter game, and they won it.
Clark Lee has this Vandy team buying into his program. Got good moves in the transfer portal, both player and coach-wise. Diego Pavia has given this toughness and a mentality to this team. They all feed off of this guy's toughness and his competitiveness. I mean, you can see it.
Kentucky's 1-3 in the league. Florida's 1-2. So which one of these coaching staffs, which one of these teams are going to have their team ready to play? The Gators are playing at home. Whichever one of these coaches, coaching staffs, and leaders of the team can get their team ready to put all this happened behind them. And I think it's kind of a toss-up which one it's going to be.
Amazing moments. Special players. Stories you may not know. Doug Matthews, Checkerboard Chronicle.
Something that was started called the Victory Cigars. It was started in the 1950s. Now, there's a lot of back and forth about exactly who started and why they started. Most of the credit goes to Jim Goostrey, who's the head trainer for Alabama. He was a Tennessee graduate who played for General Nealon. But bottom line is this, whichever team wins this game, and the thing that Coach Bryant is alleged to have said, and a lot of this, you know, maybe they said it, maybe they didn't. As time goes on, you know, the lore kind of grows there. What he was the first one to say was, and I've heard Tennessee coaches say this, I've smoked a few of those cigars myself after this ball game, was, men, when you beat Tennessee, this is Bryant talking, that's when you become a man. And when you become a man, you know what? You get to smoke a cigar. That's how all that kind of that started. And kind of interesting. Now, both teams, when they come rolling into their either where they are, if they're at home or on the road, they bring those cigars with them. Unfortunately, half of the cigars brought are thrown away in the trash can because they didn't win the ball game.
The winning numbers, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $7.5 billion for education in Tennessee.
The number is 7. Alabama opponents have just 7 touchdowns on 14 red zone attempts.
Well, where do good defenses play their best? They play the best when they're in the scoring zone inside that 20-yard line. And they haven't really faced a really strong running team. This is a plus for Tennessee because their running game is really good, and that's where you have to be able to run the football. If you can make a team throw for touchdowns inside the red zone, you're going to win more games than not.
The number is 198, as in rushing yards per game, by Alabama's offense.
Well, this sets up to me, I mean, strength versus strength. They got big dudes out there on the edge at tackle. You're talking about running the football. This against this defensive line, who can strain the hardest for four quarters? That is what's going to determine this matchup.
This is a great rivalry. It is a rivalry of streaks, and it is a rivalry of really top-quality head football coaches. Bear Bryant, 16-7-2 against Tennessee. Nick Saban, 16-1 against Tennessee. And then on the other side, Nealon was 12-5-2. Fulmer was 11-4. And what I can tell you from both the Alabama side and the Tennessee side from players, and I know of both on both sides, coached against the both, know a bunch of them, every single one of them will tell you, the best thing about this game is it is not a hate rivalry. All and several from Alabama, they were coaches who played in this game. And somebody's, about 100 of them plus coaches, are going to have a cigar in their mouth in the locker room after this game.
Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Podcast the show now and catch up before kickoff, where you find podcasts. Coach to coach.